What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily, a Widow Wednesday. It's Tuesday, February 15th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Batman Fortress writer Gary Widow. Hello. Well, Gary, you're writing a Batman comic.
Good morning. Before I forget, I really like that hoodie. I got to get that from your merch store. I like that.
Well, you're at kindoffunny.com/store. You can be just like us, but none of that. Instead, let's talk about the fact, and you can throw it up, Kevin. Throw up the DC Comics .com article. DC announces new comic book series Batman Fortress by Gary Whitta and Derek Robertson. When an unknown alien ship enters Earth's atmosphere, disrupting global power and communications and plunging the planet into chaos, the world is left wondering, where is Superman when he is needed most? In the mysterious absence of the last son of Krypton, Batman must rally the rest of the Justice League to counter the alien threat, But first, he must quell a crime wave on the blacked out streets of Gotham. Gary Whitta, parentheses Rogue One, a Star Wars story, and Derek Robertson, the boys, join forces to turn everything you think you know about Superman upside down in DC's new comic book miniseries, Batman Fortress, launching this May. Are you fucking kidding me, Gary?
The timing, so I have no control over the timing of this. This is down to DC. Yeah. But it was very nice of them to announce it 30 minutes before you and I go on the air.
Before a Widow Wednesday. Yeah, Kevin, scroll on through. Look at some of these covers. Gary, how long have you been working on this? What can you tell us about it?
I don't remember. I mean, probably like the better part of a year. I think like this process started about a year ago when we pitched them the story and been writing ever since. It's, yeah, it's it takes a long time for you to get to the point where they'll actually announce something. But we are... It's very cathartic and very nice when you've been working on something in secrecy for so long and finally let you talk about it. It's very, very gratifying.
This is fantastic, Gary. I can't wait.
I think he's doing the best work he's ever done. Derek has been a brilliant comic book artist for many years. As you know, he co-created The Boys, which is now, you know, the big show on Amazon. But he also, you know, co-created Transmetropolitan, and he's done everything, you know, Wolverine, Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, you name it.
Nice. He's one of the best. With you.
He's one of the best comic book writers out there. I've worked with him in the past, and very, very glad to be doing a major, you know, like he and I have done things in the past, but this is the biggest thing we've ever done. Batman, Superman, Justice League, all, you know, we got to play with the entire DC toy box, and it was a lot of fun.
So, you know, as a comic book nerd, I got to ask you a million different questions. Feel free not to answer what you can't answer. This is its own universe, right? We don't have to worry about continuity.
I don't think I can say anything beyond like what's already in the DC press release. But you can see the basic premise. There's obviously a clue in the title as to where this might be going.
On DCComics.com, it says fans can get to know more about Batman, Superman, Gotham City, the Fortress of Solitude, alien invasions, and more on the DC Infinite digital subscription service. The fact they're calling out the Fortress of Solitude and obviously Batman colon Fortress being the title makes me think, yeah, Fortress of Solitude is going to be a big part of it.
Did they change the, let me just check real quick.
Even the font of Fortress looks kind of snowy.
They did a really beautiful job with the logo and the artwork and everything else. Yeah, so it says Gary Whitta and Derek Robertson joined forces to raid the Fortress of Solitude. So there's a little bit of a clue in there as well. But there's a lot. It's one of those stories that has a lot of twists and turns and surprises. So have to be super careful about not saying anything ahead of time. But yeah, issue one is out May 24th. So we're very excited to get there and have people start
eight issues beginning monthly May 24th, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so it'll run through the rest of the year.
That's fantastic. I'm so proud of you, Gary. That's awesome.
Thanks, buddy. As a DC, as such a big DC fan and friend, you know, you and I worked on the Joker 80th anniversary story that we did, and I know you're one of the biggest DC fans out there. So it's genuinely, I was joking earlier, but it's genuinely very nice to have my first kind of public conversation about, you know, something very DC Batman related be with you, my good friend and the biggest DC fan I know.
I appreciate too that it's a Batman book. So, you know, you're saving when you get your Superman book. I can come co-write that with you. So that's helpful. I like that a lot.
If you, cause you like Superman as well, right?
Yeah. I like him a little bit. Yeah.
You'll like this.
Well, it sounds like I might not. It says it's the normal bullshit where Superman's going to be the bad guy and I got to deal with that again.
No. Well, we'll see. You'll see. There's definitely some things that will come at you out of left field, and that's been part of the fun of it.
I can't fucking wait, Gary. I'm so proud of you. We'll stop pumping you for information right now. Instead, start pumping our own information into your ears, ladies and gentlemen. I got there, motherfuckers.
The segue, the Greg ways are as excellent as ever. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about Cyberpunk 2077's PS5 and Xbox Series X patch being out right now. The Elden Ring PC specs being out right now. And the fact that PlayStation's going to be planting trees for your Horizon Forbidden West trophies. We'll get into all of this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. However, if you say, Greg, I got no bucks to toss your way, no big deal. You can support in a million different other ways, like watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Parks 43, Lexi Gunner, and Corey Cudney are. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. If you still needed another way to support us, it's simple, ladies and gentlemen. On the old Epic Game Store, use the creator code KINDAFUNNY. If you say, I don't play on PC, Greg, I understand that and respect that. When you're playing Fortnite or Rocket League on your PlayStation 5 or your Switch or your Xbox, you can still use the Epic creator code KINDAFUNNY when you use those stores and kick us a few bucks without having to add any more to your purchase. I have housekeeping for you. Of course, you know Horizon Forbidden West drops this week, this Friday. I'll be streaming it on Friday with one of my late game saves. No story spoilers, just going through running side missions. So you can check that out on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Of course, the review is up right now. Went up yesterday as a Kind of Funny Games cast. You can get that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, the Games Cast podcast feeds. And then most importantly for right now in terms of newness, a new episode of PS I Love You XOXO is live. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Just subscribe to it and turn on the notification bell for me, all right? And then, of course, the PlayStation I Love or PS I Love You podcast the services you use. It is nearly 2 solid hours of us just answering your Horizon questions. No spoilers for the story or anything like that. Just talking about mechanics, questions you had about trophies, questions you had about all sorts of stuff.
Can I make one, just before we move on, since you're talking about Horizon, can I make one observation about Horizon Forbidden West?
You sure can.
Based on my own experience with it, since we can now talk about it.
Hashtag game provided by PlayStation for review.
It's not a qualitative, you know, how much I like the game or anything right now. But I just want to say, so you know how the games these days, and we've talked about this a lot, they offer you the choice, right? Performance and resolution mode. You can either have like super high res, 4K resolution, but a lower frame rate, or lower resolution, but higher performance frame rate. And it's always kind of that devil's bargain. You have to, every time, I don't know how many people do this, but every time I try a game that has that,
yeah,
you quickly check out both modes, right, and kind of move around a little bit just to see which one you think feels best. And in every single game that I've ever played that offers that compromise, I have always gone with performance mode.
Of course,
I remember Yakuza Like a Dragon on Series X offered that, and it, like, the 60 frames at 1080p or whatever it was, like maybe 1440p, was just so much better than the 30 frames at 4K.
Yeah.
And I remember Borderlands 3 being almost unplayable in resolution mode, and I went back to performance almost immediately. This game, though, is the first one that I've seen. Horizon Forbidden West is the first one I've seen running in both modes where I actually prefer resolution mode. And I got into this a little bit with Khalif and Barrett yesterday because they were both saying, oh, yeah, performance mode's always the way to go. But having seen it running in both modes, I'm looking at performance mode, and weirdly, it's almost like it's almost too slippery smooth. Like, it almost feels like watching a movie with motion smoothing on. It's like, oh, it's weird. It almost looks like a soap opera, and you want to turn that off. The resolution mode, while not as slippery smooth, just kind of feels like more cinematic to me in a weird way. I can't quantify. I'm just telling you, like, how it feels to me. It's the first game that's actually flipped that. For me, I'm not sure, there's no way for me to check, but I was almost like wondering if it was running at 120 frames on PS5 because it's so buttery smooth, it's almost kind of off-putting. So that's my weird observation. I imagine I'll probably be out on my own on this one. I just thought it was interesting. It's the first game I played that I didn't have that obvious. I would make the other choice. It's very strange.
Yeah, I stuck to my guns and did performance as usual here for the 60 frames per second. I think as much as Horizon is an action game and there's so much stuff, like, you know, obviously, yeah, there's cinematic moments and all this stuff and the game's beautiful. And I think it's beautiful.
Gorgeous, gorgeous mode. Game.
Yeah. That, yeah, I just wanted to stick with it and have, you know, my bows and arrows and machine hunting right there in the 60 frames. And that's what I've done. But you can get all more Horizon information, youtube.com/kindoffunnygamespodcast, services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers who make the shows happen. Gordon McGuire, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Pranksky, Manny the Big Ol' Boy Sanchez, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Upstart and Green Chef, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Kevin, how is or was the yogurt?
It was great. It was great.
You know, I love a good yogurt. I had myself one today. I just liked it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad. Number one, Kevin and Gary, I know this is right up your alley because I had to stop you guys from talking about it before we went live. Cyberpunk 2077's PS5/Xbox Series X/S update is live. We go to GameSpot for Eddie Macko's report. Kevin, I have two links for you. One that's just gameplay. Let it play. If you want to jump ahead, the beginning is showing a little bit of creator changing yourself in the mirror. And then later on, it's a graphic you can just toss up that kind of explains a lot of different stuff. But we joined Eddie's article. As part of CD Projekt's Cyberpunk 2077 video event today, the company revealed the first details in the game's major 1.5 update and its next-gen patch for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S. It is a very large update, weighing in at around 50 gigabytes. PC and Xbox players will get the update to the existing game, while PS4 players looking to upgrade need to manually install a separate version for PS5. In all cases, the updates are free for people who already own the game. There's also a new 5-hour free trial for Cyberpunk 2077 that players can check out to get a taste of the new 1.5 update. Progress from the free trial will carry forward for the full game. Quote, with the update, Cyberpunk 2077 takes advantage of the additional power of the newest generation of console hardware, allowing for ray tracing features and 4K with dynamic scaling, faster loading times, and a variety of other visual and technical improvements, CD Projekt says. During the live stream, developers discussed how a ton of stuff is being changed for the 1.5 update, including reworked talent trees. If you already played, you can reset perk points and redistribute them. Perks that were not very useful and have been removed, including one that prevents players from being detected underwater. New perks have been added too, including one called Looking Sharp that enhances your skills with throwing knives. Some of the new perks have been purposely redesigned to give players the ability to play more aggressively and fast without necessarily needing to use cover. In general, CD Projekt says the new perks should help players find play styles. Additionally, the AI characters are better and smarter, while the driving model has been changed to make cars feel heavier. Crowd AI is changed as well. Some NPCs will have weapons and might attack you in certain situations. Additionally, the 1.5 patch for Cyberpunk 2077 will let players change their appearance mid-game. Players can visit the mirror in their apartment to change their look. There are the same character creator options from the start, along with new options for makeup. Cyberpunk 2077's 1.5 patch also adds a new website to your apartment's computer, Easy Estates, which allows players to change up their look of their apartment, choosing from 6 different options. There are also 4 brand new apartments to choose from spread throughout Night City. Eddie's article goes on like this, recapping the entire stream, but you get the gist of it. The update is out. You can get into it. Kevin, if you want to click on the second one, you can get a glance at what's going on in terms of what goes on with the quick platform overview they have here, where they lay out PlayStation 5 versus Xbox Series S, Series S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Stadia. Obviously, they're talking about new weapons, new apartments, the hairdressing mirror, the rebalance of gameplay economy and loot systems, ray tracing local shadows, various visual quality improvements, spatial headphone audio, improved crowd reactions, dual sense controller features. Shocker, that's only on PlayStation, that feature. Gary, it's a mouthful, and like I said, there's a bunch going on. What is your response to Cyberpunk's next gen, we're just going to call it, patch dropping today?
Yeah, so I woke up and saw this morning and was really surprised, very pleasantly surprised, because as I've said many times on the show before, Cyberpunk is a game that I have very much wanted to play since, you know, long before launch. You know, we all remember the hype train and the Night City wires, and we all got hyped up for it. And of course, when the game came out, it was spectacularly disappointing based on all the bugs and performance issues and all kinds of problems. And so I said for the longest time, I'm just going to wait for this promised next gen update, and I'm going to jump in when they've had a chance to really fix it, and get it running, you know, optimized for next gen hardware. Like, I don't need to play a game right on day one. And it often is the worst time to play a game because they haven't had a chance to patch it and fix it yet. Most games don't ship in a completely finished state these days. So I'm really happy I waited. I actually, this morning, the first thing I did was I reinstalled Cyberpunk on my Xbox Series X. It has the little XS logo in the corner now to indicate that it is optimized. And I'm actually quite fortunate because I have a PS5 and I have a PlayStation 4 copy here as well, I believe. So once that updates as well, what I'm going to do now is, I guarantee you right now as we speak, the boffins, the eggheads over at Digital Foundry are taking these two versions apart pixel by pixel. And no doubt in the next day or two, we'll render a verdict on which version has the edge. Because you know one's going to slightly have the edge over the other, right? Technically, we don't know which one it's going to be. They'll be very close. But I'll probably play whichever version they decide is better. Right now, the only thing that points towards the PlayStation 5, because they look basically identical, is, you know, the additional DualSense features on the DualSense controller, which is always nice. I like that feature. But it seems like either way, we're gonna be happy. This is a big step forward. You know, not just the next gen update, but, you know, it's a 1.5 patch. There's a massive list of quality of life and gameplay and bug improvements and things like that. Let me finish this up by throwing the question back to you, Greg. Do you think, I know it's taken us more than a year to get here and it's been a very rocky road, do you think that this is the beginning of the redemption of Cyberpunk, the rehabilitation of it, getting to a place where everyone can say, you know what, it took them too long, but it finally is the game it was always supposed to be now, and people can be happy with it?
No, because I don't think they'll hit that.
And you don't?
That's the problem. I mean, let's get, you know, cards on the table to refresh your memory from 2020, right, is when this all happened, right? And the fact that, like, I platinum Cyberpunk. Like, I had a great time with Cyberpunk. I played the PlayStation 4 version on a PlayStation 5. So my bugs in Cyberpunk land were minimal. I had a very stable experience, with the exception of that one trophy that was glitched, but they eventually patched pretty quickly to get the platinum or whatever. My problems with Cyberpunk weren't the bugs. My problem with Cyberpunk, that it's just a pretty basic open world RPG. Like, remember when Cyberpunk...
So you just fundamentally didn't love the game that much. It's not stuff that they're going to fix.
Exactly. Well, because the problem with Cyberpunk isn't even the bugs. It's the fact that they built this game up as the second coming, as it was going to be something we had never seen before in the world of open world video games. And that set that bar way, way, way too high. Like, I think it's crazy to look at how, and again, let's take away the fact that it was pulled from PlayStation because the PlayStation 4 version didn't run on a base PlayStation. Like, if we can get away from that part of the argument and talk about the fact that Cyberpunk 2077, I would say, has, again, without the bugs even, no goodwill behind it in a crazy world where Dying Light 2 has so much goodwill behind it. And Dying Light 2 is a game that came out and got 7s, 8s, right around there. You know what the Metacritic on launch day, I think, was like 78 or 79 at one point.
Very mixed responses, I remember from the reviews that I saw.
And it's beloved by the fan base, and it's what critics expected, and people were able to come out, and Blessing was like, hey, yeah, you know, my save was, I had a game-breaking bug, but I got a save from this, or he restarted it too, and like, I had a great time with the game. The boss fight at the end is nonsense. It's totally garbage the way the game ends. Yeah, but it's fun, and we recommend it. Like, Dying Light 2 it literally delivered on what Dying Light 1 was, which was, hey, we're making a buggy open world zombie game that's really fun to play and really fun to do parkour, and you're going to enjoy it and have fun with it like a zombie movie. And they hit that to their level to, I would say, nail it and be like, yeah, the game is not a 10 out of 10. It's not a 9 out of a 9, but it is like a good game, and it hits the expectations that were set for it. The expectations that were set for Cyberpunk 2077 were, this will be a game unlike anything you've ever played before.
Yeah, I mean, they cranked
up the hype
machine
beyond belief. I've played before. What I played in Platinum is very much a game I've played before, which isn't bad. I had a great time with Cyberpunk. I thought Keanu was cool. I thought that Pan Am's a great character that I romanced in it. There's all these things that I like about Cyberpunk, but I'm not sitting here. I don't think you turn the tide on it, because the bar was just always, like, it doesn't even get close to what The Witcher 3 was. Like, you look at the games that are just, it's never going to touch. Like,
I mean, it really was between CD Projekt's own hype machine and the fact that these were the people that brought us The Witcher. So we expect something truly great. And then all, you know, Cyberpunk, right? It plays right into the kind of the geek zeitgeist. And so many of us were like we were really, I think, primed to believe that this game was going to be potentially like the greatest video game ever made, right? I think some expectations
for sure
were like right at that level. And so when it comes, it was really kind of hard to pick the bones out of it when the game finally dropped, right? Because the question of whether or not it was actually a good game underneath was actually kind of hard to even get to because of all the bugs and technical issues, right?
Of course.
So it's only now, more than a year later, that they're finally kind of like digging themselves out from under all that rubble with, you know, a major, major patch. You know, and they've done many, but this maybe is the biggest one they've done. Plus the next gen update that many people were waiting for. Maybe it's only now that we'll be able to get like a true assessment of like how good a game it actually is. I know on PC it's been in a better state for a while, and maybe the picture is clearer for PC gamers. But you know, from PlayStation 4 gamers basically didn't even have a playable game. Like the game was not playable, right?
And that you nail it, right? Of just like. The amount, like, I remember when I platinum Cyberpunk and we moved on, and then there was like a kind of funny subreddit thread that was just like, hey, like, Greg platinum, are they ever going to do a spoiler cast for it? And like the audience called it or just like, well, no, like there's the water is poisoned right now. You can't talk about this game, let alone there's a whole different thing if it deserves one. But like who's talking about that game in that way? Like, nobody, that's not the conversation.
I mean, around Cyberpunk. This is a show where I'm actually half surprised not to see Paris lurking in the Discord, because he's out, and I actually wanted to hear from him today because I know, you know, he's been the biggest, you know, Cyberpunk fan.
Gary, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Say Paris Lily 3 times and he'll appear.
And I'm scared to do that. What if it's like Candyman? What if he's the Candyman?
Paris doesn't have a cool
Paris Lily, Paris Lily, Paris Lily.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Paris Lily.
You don't really have Paris Lily. You
nah,
don't
he didn't
have
come,
him.
But I thought it'd be cool. I didn't have him. Giving him enough
You're
time.
Full
he
of shit as always, Greg.
Y'all just like, come on, KFGD. He's gonna be like, I'm in a meeting. I'm doing stuff. That's not how he sounds.
Too busy. He's too busy making moves. But my point is for people that, unlike you, who actually really love the game and have been frustrated that they can't really experience it the way they want to because of these bugs. And for people who have been waiting, like me, to like, you know what, I'll wait for them to fix it and I'll jump in when it's in better shape. I wonder if those people are more likely to feel like, okay, fine, you know, this is good now, you know?
Again, the game is good. And that's what I walked away from it. But it's like, I don't know. We're spinning our wheels, I guess, in a way. Is there an audience? And this is, I know, a loaded question. I'm literally stepping on the landmine, but my foot's already on it. There's no way off without it exploding. Is there an audience that loves Cyberpunk 2077? Like, I know.
I think there's an audience that wants to love it, and I think there is a hardcore that genuinely does. And you can drill that all the way down to the super hardcore that were probably like being apologists for this from the beginning, right? People for whom, like, you know, they're totally blinkered and the game can do no wrong. Like, you're eventually going to get down to that hardest of the hardcore.
A lot of people in the chat right now are saying, yes, I loved it. I love it.
I know there were people that loved it. Bugs and all. I don't want to have to put up with bugs. I want to play a nice, clean version of the game. And again, all I'm doing at this point is just waiting for Digital Foundry to kind of weigh in on which one marginally has the edge. Because I don't care which version I play. I would like more likely to go with Xbox because I want the achievements. But aside from that, they're essentially going to be the same game. I mean, I think we can both agree this though, Greg. Not that they had much of a choice. They could never have like just abandoned it and went like, oh well, that 10 years of development didn't work out. Onto the next one. They had to fix this, right? They had to put the additional resources into fixing it, both for their own reputation and, you know, to salvage something from this mess of a launch. So I think we can both, whether or not it's for you, Greg, I think we can both agree. Like it's still
an excuse. Painting me in that corner, it was for listen, me. I like still, Cyberpunk. I platinum Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
I
didn't, Cyberpunk haters
Kevin didn't
like you.
Have the shotgun to the back
even,
of my head.
Even
do it,
true
do it.
Cyberpunk haters like you have to agree that even though the launch was a disgrace and it was inexcusable, and it's arguably taken them way too long to get to this point, more than a year. It is at least good that we're finally here or are getting there, where like they're actually making amends and fixing it, and I guess like doing justice to what they originally wanted to ship, right? That's a good thing.
Come on, Greg, even you can agree with that. It's not stuck in a forever broken state.
He can't do it, Kevin. He hates Cyberpunk so much.
I hate you guys. I'm gonna redownload it. I'm gonna download the PS5 version because
I'm glad you're giving it another shot.
Chat, can you pop? Will it pop the platinum again? Because it would. It should. I'm uploading my PS4 save to my PS5 version. It's a different version. It should give me the trophies. I think you just want to get the double trophies on it. Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to play it again. Like, I think it's awesome that they're putting in new skill trees and changing all this stuff. I hate it if you didn't know. But no, there's actually a question that ties into all this I want to bring in. Manic Pixel Dream Boy writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, am I the only person whose reaction to the Cyberpunk Shadow drop is negative? Seeing the state of the original release, I decided just to hold fire and wait for the new gen version of the game to drop, knowing with smart delivery eventually I'd get the real version of the game I want. Mm-hmm. Fine. Mm-hmm. Now, having waited well over a year, they drop it days before Elden Ring and Horizon. I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big issue. I'll just play when I get to it. But this was something I've been looking forward to for a while, and it just feels like yet another swing and a miss, and it is so frustrating. Where is the CDPR of the days of The Witcher 3? Now, here's the problem with releasing a video game. You're always going to release a video game, and there'll be another video game coming up that people want to play or that there's an anticipated thing. Yeah, yeah. There's never a perfect time to launch any game. So I don't know if that's the argument I would take, Manic Pixel Dream Boy. I understand it. But it is worth saying that as somebody who platinum Cyberpunk 2077, because he enjoyed the game and loved Pan Am and had a great sex scene with her, all right? As somebody who did all of that, I want you to know that I would totally tell you to play Horizon before I would tell you to play Cyberpunk. And again, not the bug thing, not the whatever thing. I just mean in quality, gameplay, story, world.
You could argue that the timing is a little bit odd. I just had this conversation with Snowbite Mike on and Paris on the XCast this past week because we were talking about Crossfire X, which just dropped on the Xbox.
Yeah,
and you know, it's according to Mike, it's you know a decent single player game, but the multiplayer version's a buggy mess. And we talked about why drop it now into this meat grinder of Horizon Forbidden West and particularly Elden Ring. It's a very, very busy month. There are much bigger and arguably better games out there competing for everyone's attention right now. And I guess you can make the same argument about this. We've waited so long for Cyberpunk's, you know, major fixes and particularly this next gen version that we had kind of forgotten. It kind of fallen out of the conversation, right? So everyone was like so surprised today. Like, oh shit, yeah, that's right. You were working on that today. Oh, great. Like, that's all really good. But I don't know, maybe like just wait a month or two, given that we've already, you know, and continue just tweaking it to and just get out of Horizon and Elden Ring's way, because those two games are gonna destroy all comers for the next few weeks, I'm sure.
But maybe that also takes the pressure off them. I think that's the other thing to look at it, right? Where first off, they have to do shadow drop because, as we've already said, CD Projekt's reputation is soured at the moment. So you can't say it'll come in a couple weeks as people talk shit about it and then they'll build up expectations and hope and yada yada. This is the best way to do it, of just a shadow drop saying, hey, it's here. Here's what's cool. Just go play it. Enjoy it yourself. And then it's the same thing of, maybe that works in a way because it diffuses the people who are the looky-loos. Maybe this is going to, you know, the chat that's alive saying they love Cyberpunk. You're the ones who are going to go in, I guess, and roll a new character. And again, you have multiple days right now before Horizon drops. And of course, not everybody's going to play Horizon. You have a week before Elden Ring drops. Not everybody's going to play Elden Ring. It's a chance for that audience that has been starving, that has been wanting, that does feel wrong to get in there and play it and maybe, you know, be the core audience, be the ones who are going to be evangelizing it.
Yeah, I mean, this probably will be the next big game that I jump into now, because, you know, Horizon's cool, but the world-building mythology isn't, like, really my cup of tea, and Elden Ring obviously looks amazing, but I worry that the soulsiness of it is going to be too inaccessible for me.
Sure.
And so, again, this is what I've been waiting for. I like the look of the world. I like the cyberpunk vibe. I think it seems like there's a lot there to enjoy. I just been waiting for them to clean up the mess, and it looks like this kind of feels like the first I've seen all the patches that have come before, and every patch is like, we fixed all of this, but there's still a lot to do. And I was like,
get back to me
when the list of things that you fixed is longer than the list of things you still need to fix. Yeah. And I feel like we're crossing that tipping point now. So again, it's been a very, very long road. But I do think, I mean, I would like to think, I want to support game developers. I want to support good games. I want to believe in redemption. And I want to believe that they can, you know, again, the stain of the botched launch will never be erased. All they can do now is make amends as well as they can. And I do feel like they're making a sincere effort to do that.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Jack Martin writes into kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong, like you can't correct us in the show, and he gives me the information I've been looking for. According to PSN profiles, there is no auto pop for Cyberpunk trophies. Sorry, Greg. So then you got to ask yourself, am I going to replay Cyberpunk on 2077 on PlayStation 5 eventually? Roll a different character, make different choices. Romance would be different. Right? Probably not, because again, I think...
Are you not curious just to play around with it, just to see what the performance upgrade looks like on PS5?
No, it's gonna look better. I get it. Like, I get it, and I'm glad it's there for people who haven't played it. But like, I feel like my world, you know, what I'll do, I feel like when they drop their first piece of DLC that is like DLC, like it's a new quest and we're going out to do whatever for Jackie, like, I think then I'd be like, okay, cool, yeah, I want to go play that. But I guess, well, my save carries over, so I want my trophies. I'm gonna look into this. Not that I don't believe Jack Martin, but
it sounds like, just from the little bit I heard this morning, the trophy list might be slightly different. So there might be some you don't have that are unique to the PS5 version. You might want to investigate that.
Well then, everyone, we're gonna stop the show and go to PSN Pro. No, I got an exo phase, I guess. See what's up. See what's going on over here. Cyberpunk 20 trophies 2077. Okay. I'm not looking at side by side, so, you know, I'm looking for the one. Maybe they get rid of it. Oh, they got all the scanner shit still in there. That's going
to
be a bitch.
They definitely said something about adding new, like, secret areas to Night City that only apply to the next-gen version. So whether or not that has an impact on trophies, I don't know. But it sounds like there are some, like, actual content things that are exclusive to the new version. It's not just, you know, updating what was already
there. I'm going to keep going with this show. I need somebody to write into You're Wrong and tell me what are the differences in the trophies. All right, that's
really yeah, let's find put your minions to work, Greg.
Your minions too, Gary. You can do it anytime. They're all going to buy
I am not your fucking minion.
No, you're not. I said they're your
minions. My minion. I thought you were saying you're a minion too, Gary. You know, no, fuck yourself. No. I don't have any minions.
If I said that kind of shit, you'd turn off the show and just leave. I'm aware
of how Gary would. I can turn this camera off anytime.
Exactly. Gary Wood doesn't care. Beard Adept has another Cyberpunk question. What's up, KFGD crew? Of course, he wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, with CDPR likely dropping the next gen... Oh, this is before it happens. But blah, blah, blah. Do you think it's possible that the Series X/S versions will come to Game Pass eventually? With the bad rep that it got, being everywhere should be the number one goal, right? Love to know your thoughts. Beard Adept. Beard Adept, I am so confident that Cyberpunk 2077 will come to Xbox Game Pass at one point.
You are?
I will tell you, I am betting Kevin on it. Not his life, but him as an employee. If I'm wrong and it never comes, Beard of Depth, you can take Kevin as an employee, all right? But I'm so confident. Huh?
I'd be free?
No, you'd work for Beard of Depth then. You'd be his
I guess that makes
employee,
sense.
I guess. I don't know. I guess we still have to pay you, but you're Beard of Depth's employee, technically. That's the deal.
That sounds good.
Well, I mean, you know, Beard of Depth, I'm hopefully we'll just say we'll keep doing all the same stuff you're doing for Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Let me ask you, what makes you so confident that it will be on Game Pass?
You gotta make your money back. I think again, it's the rep. Here's my thing. I think he wrote this ahead of time being like, hey, will this be like a drop today? Then I would have said, of course, no. No, it is not going to be a drop today. I think you can't do that now because you have so many people who paid for it and are angry with the game that is unplayable and yada, 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 that they would be mad. And then also it would look like you're admitting defeat.
I think putting this game out
and just being like, we're just it's out for everybody. We just want to make some money off of it. I think a year from now, 2 years from now, you put it on Game Pass and nobody cares as much. And CD Projekt Red gets to make a lot of money, even though the game made a lot of money, but it also lost them a lot of money and a lot of goodwill and a million other things.
Putting it on Game Pass and also presumably, hopefully, on PlayStation's copycat service when that launches later
Spartacus.
This year would be a nice way. You know, it'd be a nice gesture, right? On the again, CD Projekt Red are still in a massive kind of goodwill deficit with, I would suggest, the majority of gamers, right? Like the wound is still somewhat fresh. Like we all remember that just what a mess that launch was. That making it available as part of something that most gamers are probably already going to be paying for would be a nice gesture, I think.
People are pointing out, of course, that, you know, they made their money back when it came out. That was something that, even with the refunds. Sure. But again, they continue to work on this. How far off is their timeline right now? You're talking about launch and how much it made to at launch and whatever to recoup costs. And that.
I mean, they've got more than a year's burn, right, on development on this game.
And these patches were supposed to be out in the first part of 2021, right? Like,
yeah.
Clearly their schedule is fucked. That's costing them money. I think they want, and so I think you make back the goodwill, then you make as much money off the product as you can. But you're right. If I painted the picture, I'm sorry that this game is running them in the red. It is not, just in the red of goodwill. Jack Martin wrote back in, who wants to be the kindoffunny.com/you're wrong hero today, and I appreciate it, and says, here's another Cyberpunk trophy update from Cyberpunk's patch. Quote, note that as the next gen version has a different SKU, PlayStation trophies obtained in backwards compatibility will not be transferred. Xbox achievements will automatically appear on the new version using smart delivery. So
yeah.
I don't think it's a different
another win for Xbox.
Well, no, you're wrong about that. See, idiot. PlayStation's games are different SKUs. You Xboxes get one. So every one of your game that gets a new version, you keeps the same trophy list. You don't double pop your achievements.
Didn't you just say that on Cyberpunk they wouldn't be popping again?
I say they transfer, meaning that when you do that and turn it on, you have you have one unified trophy, or I'm sorry, achievement list. You have a one unified achievement list that no matter what Xbox version you're playing on pulls from.
But it seems like you were briefly excited about the idea of just getting like free duplicate trophies for the PlayStation 5, right?
Correct.
Just
and I'm not getting that. But the silver lining is I can still get duplicate PlayStation trophies. I just have to earn them again. And again,
that's
even
not
though
a duplicate if you, have
you
to earn,
I hate
if you have to earn it again. I thought, you know, if it just auto pops, like, yeah, yay, have some free trophies.
Sure. You can talk all the shit about you want trophies, but when you get to
and you would probably still be strutting around like you earn them, wouldn't you?
I would. I very much would. At the end of the year, bless you, like, how many platinums you got? I'd name the obscene number of platinums I get. And I only worked for three of them, but the rest are all duplicates. Or I'm not going to play CJ the Ball anymore or ZJ the Ball anymore. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Let them bully you. Down. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Janet bullied me hard, Kevin, and I let it happen. All right? And it's over. So that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to bully me hard, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can ride in to be part of the show. You can get the show at the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you can get the show ad-free. But guess what? You're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So here's a word from our sponsor. Think of all the things you could do and all the places you could go if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt. Upstart helps make those dreams a reality by helping you pay off your existing debt quickly with a personal loan. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Unlike other lenders, Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute rate check, you can see your rate upfront for your loans between $1,000 and $50,000 and receive your funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/kindoffunny. Green Chef is the greenest way to get your greens. It's the most sustainable meal kit out there, offsetting 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. Their pre-portioned ingredients mean you reduce your food waste by at least 25% compared to boring old grocery shopping. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, with options for every lifestyle like keto and paleo, vegan, vegetarian, fast and fit, Mediterranean, and gluten-free. I'm Greg Miller, and I use Green Chef. They just sent me a box the other day. We had these Greek pitas. They were delicious. You cut them in half and you put all the delicious stuff in there. Came in a brown bag. You open up the brown bag, take out all these other brown bags, then you recycle it all, then you eat this delicious food. It's great. Why wouldn't you do this? Go to greenchef.com/kindoffunny130 and use the code kindoffunny130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/kindoffunny130 and code kindoffunny130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Welcome back, everybody. The one, the only, Radic from CD Projekt Red is watching live and says, no new trophies in Cyberpunk 2077 in today's release. Sorry, Greg, but hoping you'll still have fun with the PS5 version. Smiley. Well, I don't know if you know this, Radic. They've decided I hate it. I hate Cyberpunk.
That's why it can be awkward when you're slagging off people's games, Greg. You never know when the developers might be in the channel.
I wasn't slagging off the game!
Also, Greg, when you say things like that, I just remember that we have editors that can cut things around, you know, however we want.
Matt Batson would never do me like that, all right? Don't worry about it. Number two on the Roper Report, Netflix is making a BioShock movie. As we were going live today, a couple of tweets from Netflix Geeked went out. They read, this is a quote, quote, "We all make choices, but in the end, our choices make us," end quote. Netflix plus BioShock, would you kindly stay tuned? Netflix, 2K, and Take-Two Interactive are partnering to produce a film adaptation of the renowned video game franchise BioShock. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what was happening as we went live. I don't believe there's more. I'll give a quick Google. But right now, Gary, are you excited for a Netflix BioShock movie?
Yeah, I've always been excited about the idea of a BioShock movie. I remember, you know, back when Gore Verbinski was going to direct it. You remember? I think Ken Levine actually wrote a draft of the script at some point. I actually remember seeing some concept art, some production art that they had back in a previous version of it. I remember thinking, wow, this looks really good. I think the issue that killed it back in the day was just hugely, hugely expensive, you know, underwater and that whole thing. Sure. And it's, you know, not a cheap movie to make. So, you know, Netflix have presumably figured out, you know, a way to make it that they think is, you know, producible and doable. And yeah, I hope they do. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but you want to see a BioShock movie, right? I mean, seeing that world brought to life, look amazing. There you go again. What's with you today? You're just hating on everything.
I mean, how many times have we been burned by video game movies? That's all I'm saying.
But, you know, we're at a point now where, like, some of them are actually, you know, I think the idea, there's never been a good, like, I see these stories like, oh, will this finally be the movie to break the video game curse? Like, that happened already. We've had some good ones.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sonic the Hedgehog was a banger.
Super Mario Bros. Is awesome.
No, Kevin, that's a bad one to bring in. What? That's a bad one to bring into the argument.
No, it was fun.
It's because, yes, you were 4 years old when it came out. That's why.
I don't think I was
going to say you're much younger than that, weren't you? You weren't even alive.
What's the word on Uncharted? Is that
reviews are popping today? I've been staying cautiously away from them because I'm going to see it tonight. We're going to see it tonight.
You don't want to read any reviews before.
I don't
want to
be super influenced, but it seems like people are saying it's an action movie. It's a good. It's a fun. It's an action movie. I'm seeing like sevens and eights when I look around there. I'm not getting crazy about it. Right now, though, Hollywood Reporter has no real more information. Not much more information. This is Boris Kitt over at the Hollywood Reporter, who's talking about everything we just said. Vertigo Entertainment and Take-Two will serve as producers. No writer or filmmakers on board. The partnership deal has been in the works for almost a year. So very much a nebulous
Sometimes
thing.
It can take that long just to figure out the deal-making part of it, like the rights and just the money part, before you can even start to think about the creative part.
We'll see. Yeah, the rights are a big part of it, yeah. Kevin, while we're here talking about movies and we mentioned the Uncharted thing, why don't you go to number 7 on the Roper Report? Bring that up for me, where I say, finally, let's watch the new PlayStation Productions animation. If you're going to go see Uncharted, you know that Marvel changed the game with their Marvel intro and making it awesome and cool. And everybody else started chasing. Because for years before movie, people would pop up. And don't get me wrong, the Columbia Pictures lady with the torch, she's dope. And remember the old unicorn that would run for TriStar?
Yeah, yeah. It'd just be going.
What are we talking about right now?
You're a movie guy. The introduction to movies.
You know, MGM's The Lion. It's like,
The Lion sucks. Don't worry about The Lion. Anyways, PlayStation Studios has their own that's running before Uncharted. It's brand new.
They have their own logo. Well, that's
cool. Let's take a. You want to watch? Gary, are you doing?
Yeah, let me get.
Hold on, Kevin. Rewind.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
All right.
Cool. There you go.
We good, Gary?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm watching. I'm all set.
But he's watching Twitch.
And that's Aloy in her focus. Look, it kicks you off.
Oh, it's the axe.
God of War axe.
Yeah.
Nathan Drake. Yeah.
Jin Sakai. Joel and Ellie.
Yeah.
Astro.
Look at this. Sony cinematic universe is just bursting at the seams.
Productions. That's a cool intro.
Yeah. It's fine.
You don't like it, Kev? No, let it roll, Kevin. You're the movie guy. You don't like it?
I like it.
I mean, I don't know. It's. I think I'd like it more if it was just the... Like, just tiny little clips. I don't like them showing video game characters.
Well, you figure when they actually make these movies, Ratchet they'll probably show more of it.
But just these little teases of it, you know?
It is very much in the spirit of the Marvel and particularly the DC logo, which does exactly this, right? Just kind of like fades through iconic, you know, DC characters. So they've copied, you know, what they see to be the kind of the Marvel DC logo format, and I'm fine with it.
Okay. Well,
I wonder if that'll run before the HBO Last of Us series as well. I doubt it. I think it's probably just for cinematic movies.
Oh no, I bet it would. I think it would. They're gonna stamp that on everything.
We'll see.
Alright. Oh. I'm not sure enough to bet Kevin on it like I did the Game Pass prediction for Cyberpunk, but don't get me wrong. I think it's gonna happen.
Oh, like Knack got shortchanged there, don't you think?
Yeah. Hmm. And that's definitely the problem. That's definitely the issue with it.
Our Lord and Savior.
Number 3 on the Roper Report, we have the Elden Ring PC specs. PC system requirements have been revealed here for the old Elden Ring. Gary, I'll need you to help me decipher a lot of them, all right? So you got minimum and you got recommended. Should I just go to recommended? Should I stay at minimum?
Yeah, so back in the old PC gamer days, where you always used to say, back in the days when, like, I mean, it still is a thing, but, you know, every on the box of every game, it always have, you know, minimum and then recommended stats. And we always used to say, treat the recommended like the minimum. Because they lowball you every time. And if you've got the minimum stats as specified, don't even bother playing. But let's hear it.
I'm balling up minimum and I'm throwing them away. Your recommended specs look like this. Operating system, Windows 11 or 10. Processor, Intel Core i7-8700K or AMD.
A mid-range Ryzen processor 5, at this point. Very much 3600X. Mid-range.
Now here's where it gets interesting. Memory, 16 gigabytes of RAM.
It's all right.
Graphics. NVIDIA GeForce GXT 1070, 8 gigabytes, or AMD Radeon RX Vega 56, 8 gigabytes.
1070 is very low end at this point. You can probably assume that you need more than that to get like real performance.
DirectX 12, 60 gigabytes for storage, and Windows compatible audio device. Does that catch you?
I mean, the only three you really, really have to think about are GPU, RAM, and to a lesser extent CPU.
And so on like that, 1070, we'll go to IGN.com.
Don't forget, like the high end card right now is a 3080, 3090, a 1070. That's many, many iterations of technology.
Yeah, it's like 2010 iterations.
If you're running it in 1080p, my guess is you could probably run it, you know, with manageable specifications, you know, like put the detail on low or medium or whatever, you'll be able to play it. But if you want the bells and whistles experience, you're going to want media stats than that. They never want to like feel like anyone's frozen out. Like they will always put in the bare minimum stats. And so,
well, for the context, I want to go to Taylor Lyles over at IGN.com, who writes, "More surprising was the fact that the minimum PC requirement asked for 12 gigabytes of RAM. While 12 gigabytes of RAM is not out of the realm of possibility for the majority of PC gamers, many systems still roll with about 8 gigabytes of RAM. By comparison, Dying Light 2, which was released earlier this month, only requires 8 gigabytes of RAM. Elden Ring's minimum PC requirements are also far more demanding than previous From Software titles, including 2019 Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which lists the Intel Core i3-2100 or AMD, a whole bunch of shit there.
I'm going to see what I have in here. I have 32 gigs in this one, so I'll be all right.
Yeah, you're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. But yeah,
fucking lights up as well. My RAM, Greg, you should see it.
I bet it. I mean,
RGB, is mine. The rainbow of colors.
No, you don't got lights in yours. You didn't need them.
No, yeah. I do. I got a pink thing going right now.
Nah.
Guys, I'm going to take a photo of my thing and put it up. Twitter.com/GameOverGreggy just to prove once again, Kevin's wrong.
Nah, he isn't. What a waste of a computer.
Color of it, Kevin?
Yep.
How do you do that?
You download a program. Depends on. It's probably IQ is what it's called.
Okay. Yeah, no, IQ. I have that. I've seen that.
Really breaks my heart, the thought of that really powerful PC just going to waste over there in Greg's house.
Just waste. He had a 20 super, and he was like, gamers would I need love to have that. I need the 3080.
Kevin, the tweet is up if you want to go to twitter.com/GameOverGreggy. Show that to everybody just so they can all understand. I know you don't, but again, until you've been released and become Beard Adept's problem, because the bet going wrong, I need you to show off.
What do you got in there, a 3080?
Kevin, what do I have?
Yeah, he has a 3080. I found it.
It's tragic.
I wish that was me. That would have been a better tweet. No, I got too caught up in making Kevin wrong. Show it, though. Show it with the purple.
Okay.
Kevin, it's fun to show purples. You said IQ. I have IQ. I'm clicking on it.
I think I set this up, too.
Bring to foreground. Show IQ space. I'm going to click on Show IQ Space.
You should be able to.
Yeah, so you'll be able to reprogram the RAM and the CPU cooler there to do whatever kind of color shit you want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, now in typical PC fashion, what happened is that IQ Space updates popped up and it's just blank. It's just blank. There's no. I got a plus, I got an X, and I got a download thing.
I mean, just leave it there. Some people like a simple, just like the purple vibe. There's nothing wrong with that. Just leave it.
I know there's nothing wrong. I'm just saying, you know, you guys are always trying to sell me on PC gaming. And what I just read from Taylor and these PC requirements was fucking gobbledygook. You know what I mean? This is just garbage gibberish. Buy a PlayStation, install the game. Buy an Xbox, install the game, and have fun.
Yeah, until you run out of hard drive space, you gotta get the fucking screwdriver out.
I'm conjuring a fucking demon with my i7-8700K Ryzen 5-3600X.
You sound like a Dalek.
Dalek, he sounds just like a Dalek.
You called, sir. What can I do?
You must have a 3080.
Eliminate.
Your system specs are inadequate.
Number four on the Roper Report's a nice one for you. You can play the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe DLC without buying it. We go to Eurogamer, where Victoria Kennedy writes, "A closer look at Mario Kart 8's DLC expansion blurb has revealed that players will still be able to play the new courses even if they don't actually own them or have a subscription to the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack. Despite fears of the contrary, the information on Nintendo's official Mario Kart page reads, Courses from Wave 1 of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass can be played from the 18th of March locally or online in Friends and Rivals races, even if only one player owns the Booster Course Pass or has access to it as part of the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Smash Pass membership. From March 22nd, courses from Wave 1 will also appear in the random selection when playing global or regional races with anyone online, end quote. It's a little bit of good news there, Gary. If you were,
Leah, she's a Mario Kart fiend and she's very good at the game. She's so excited about these new courses. She actually has like picked up the game and started playing it again. And she's been knocking out the 3-star trophies on the last remaining courses that she didn't have.
Is she playing 200cc?
That's actually a good question. I don't know if she's ever done 200cc, but 150 for sure. I know she's knocked all those out.
That's where Kings and Queens play. You start playing at 200cc and enjoying it, you're a pervert, and I don't want to hear about it.
Mirror mode is the one I can't get past. That always freaks me out. Yeah. But no, we're very excited about the new courses.
Dude, I can't wait for more Mario Kart.
I can't wait. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, of course. Let's get back into it. Yeah, I'm stoked for it. And it's cool that you can play it without actually owning it, which I'm always a fan of. That was, you know, back in the day when I had my DS and I was waiting in line for my Wii to pre-order it, the guy next to me had Mario Kart DS and I didn't have it. And so he shared it and we played it for like 4 hours. And so what happened? I got up there. I'm like, I want to pre-order the Wii and please give me Mario Kart DS.
Is 200cc what like pros play at? Like if there's an esports Mario Kart.
I already said it. It's what perverts play at. Like it's not fun. But sexual like Tim demons. Is like, you know what? Oh, I love it. Punish me. And then it's Barrett too. I think actually Tim
what
hates it.
What the fuck? Were you just whacking like simulating Tim whacking off?
No, for me it was more like enjoying the pain.
No, it like, looked like, I mean, if you go back and watch that clip, it really looked like you were just
first
spanking
off,
it.
Everyone knows this would be jerking off, Gary. That's what it looks God, like to jerk off.
You're devastating
the gift. The gift people are having a fucking field day.
Ryzen 4800.
Oh my God.
What? Oh, this has been a fun show. There it is. Barrett, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? Have you gone to therapy to find out why you enjoy 200cc?
Oh, yeah, I did. And my therapist said it's because I'm a fucking good gamer and not a fucking bitch-ass player.
He got you!
I mean, he does make a good point.
Gary, you sit down and shut the fuck up. You're not even good at it. You can't even handle mirror mode.
I'll
take it from Barrett. I'll eat Barrett's shit in Mario Kart. That's fine. I understand.
I mean, yeah. I'm not very good at Mario Kart. I've always admitted that. I wouldn't dare to play at 200. And I have heard mixed opinions about 200cc. But clearly it's where like the best players would want to play, right? The fastest version of the game.
Exactly.
I heard it's for perverts.
Yeah, it's pretty well on the record here. Kind of Funny Games Daily perverts play 200cc and enjoy it.
I can understand if it's not for you, but to equate us to perverts is just like, it's a new low for you, Greg. It's a fucking new low for you, bro.
I'm a big fan of the chat.
I get
Scarver,
it.
Scarver 84.
Suck. Like, you suck at Mario Kart. I get it. But to try to, like, bring us down to your level... Don't like
what is
it.
What is
like
you it. Know what it is and I don't we need Andy to get in here and even hit, then it would be a struggle. I'm a great double A ball player. Like I'm not good enough to go to the pros where Barry and Tam are hitting or they're doing like the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire hit home runs competition. They're both dope and they're both perverts, but I'm in double A. I'm always playing for the Kane County Cougars, but I also work at the hardware store and I have a drinking problem, but I'm good at it. You know, I'm just never great at it.
You can take the boy out of the Midwest, but you can't take the Midwest out of the boy, can you, Greg?
That's number five on the Roper Report. There's now going to be, ladies and gentlemen, a Horizon Forbidden West Lego tall neck. It's coming in May. We have a trailer. Kevin, you want to toss it up? So we can see a little Lego Aloy here. There's a little narration, too, if you want.
Let me see Lego Aloy. Let's see.
This
is an official Lego set?
Yeah, official Lego set. Again, coming out this May.
Now to climb up to its head.
Oh, I'll have to get this for Leah. She'll love this.
Yeah,
oh, little
sure.
Aloy
sure.
minifig. It's so cute. Yeah. Look at her. That is cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Like did you see? It was a fan-made set, but did you see the Prince of Persia Lego set that was going around today?
No.
I retweeted it earlier. Really, really cool. I hope it's one of those like Lego ideas kind of things.
Oh, sure. Is that your vote on or whatever?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Kevin, if you want to go look at Gary's and find that for us, that'd be great.
But yeah, it's only a few tweets back. It should be up there.
While you do that, I'm going to go to the sixth and final now, since we already did 7 Roper Report. On top of that Horizon news, PlayStation also announced the Play and Plant program, which I think is fucking awesome. Horizon Forbidden West Play and Plant program. For the release of Horizon Forbidden West, we want to do something to help nature with you. Just like how Aloy fights to save the Earth in the game, we can do something together to help our planet. Play Horizon Forbidden West and unlock the Reached the Daunt trophy before March 25th, and we, in partnership with the Arbor Day Foundation, will plant a tree across the country to help complete three different reforestation projects. So let's grab our controllers and play for our planet. PlayStation has a website up with all this information in it, but here's the two things I wanted to call out. One tree donated for each Reach the Daunt trophy unlocked until all three reforestation projects are completed. Parentheses, based on an estimated 288,000 trees required. No additional purchase necessary to unlock the trophy. Promotion ends when maximum donation is reached or on the March 25th, whichever is earlier. For more information, visit the Arbor Day Foundation website at arborday.com. PlayStation's official website, which if you just put in PlayStation plant, you can go look at, is benefiting the Douglas County Forest, Sheepfire Private Lands, and then the Torreya State Park. I thought this was awesome, Gary.
Yeah, why not? It'd be a shame. I hope people, you know, I hope people do hit that platinum, because like, what if they, you know, what if they don't? Oh, well, you know, fuck trees.
Well, no, 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 no.
Or are they
going to
do it anyway?
No. That is not what this is. Reach the Daunt is not a platinum trophy. It is not.
I don't mean like getting a platinum. I just mean like they have to get that specific trophy, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't, they won't plant the trees.
Exactly. They'll burn a tree. For every person who drops off early,
I kind of feel like even if they don't hit whatever their promotional objectives are, they should plant the fucking trees anyway, you know?
Yeah, you get it early. It's like it's one of the unavoidable ones.
Why does the future, you know, survival of planet Earth need to be connected to marketing objectives? I don't know.
I mean, because it'll help. Well, I mean, you know, Dane Hansen writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, clearly this is designed to get people to buy the game early and word of mouth about the game, but it makes me happy knowing that the game I was planning to play already will give back in some way. Last year, we saw the Ghost of Tsushima community come together to help rebuild the landmark on the real life island. Do you think we could potentially see more game communities rally around subjects tying into the games they love? Do you think this is a one and done PR thing, or do you think they might see more programs in the future? Great call on remembering the Ghost of Tsushima stuff. I would think you're going to see more stuff like this when you can tie it into the game. And I think the fact that Horizon being, hey, we fucked up the Earth, it's a pretty easy, cool PR move to get.
No, it's good. I don't mean to sound churlish about it. It's a good thing that they're doing. I'm just trying to find reasons to be a dick at this point. By the way, I do have an update, a Mario Kart update from Leah.
Yeah, thank you.
She is working her way through both 200cc and Mirror Mode right now to get
Gary,
those three-star trophies.
It's always hard.
She's
to
all
find
the way
out
back in.
Pervert.
She's very serious about it.
Oh, you married a pervert. How's that feel?
Pretty fucking good, actually.
Oh my god, Gary, I can't wait to see what your wife, the biggest Horizon fan I know, thinks of Horizon Forbidden West, but her review is so far away until the game comes out on Friday. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grub shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform. Oh wait, can I do it in my Dalek voice?
Sure.
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Exterminate.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a Lego Dimensions fan like me. I loved those guys in Lego Dimensions. Out today. This comes from GameSpot. Fortnite is in motion controls with the 19.30 patch notes, literally. With the new update, players on new platforms can use motion controls previously seen only in Switch and Android platforms. Gyroscopic aiming and new flick stick controls created by input specialist Julian Jib Smart are now playable for the first time on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and PC, and improved on Switch and Android. There's more accessibility features and stuff, and you can go read about it on GameSpot if you like. Holy Purge is coming to PC today. Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, and Switch. Liberté on PC. Super Dungeon Maker on PC. Nimbus Infinity on PC. Aerial Knights Never Yield gets the update on PC and Xbox today. Other platforms are coming soon after. Mm-hmm. Bladed Fury is now available on iOS and Android. And Kung Fu Kickball is, of course, out on Switch, PlayStation 5, or all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, PC and Mac, and it supports crossplay across all the platforms. New dates for you. Among Us Imposter Edition and Among Us Ejected Edition will be launching in the US and Canada April 19th, and in Europe and the UK and Australia May 31st. And then Dark Deity comes to Nintendo Switch March 17th. deals of the day for you, ladies and gentlemen. We have new Game Pass updates for you. These three titles are coming on February 17th. You're getting Lawn Mowing Simulator on Xbox One, Madden NFL 22, console and PC, Total War Warhammer 3 on PC. February 22nd, RoboQuest is a game preview on PC. February 24th, you get Galactic Civilizations 3 on PC and Super Mega Baseball 3 on EA Play. And then February 28th, you get Alice Madness Returns on PC. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw up. We can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Rooster Teeth, podcast services around the globe. Crown Prince writes in, says, Greg, it was a Pegasus, not a unicorn. Of course, we're talking about the TriStar. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Dude, that I remember so well from when we would rent Supergirl. Supergirl. Maybe it was Superman. I think it was Supergirl. Oh, no, terrible. But you're a kid. Yeah. I'm a kid, and I like super, you know.
Remember the witch?
Like super people. Yeah, terrible. Faye Dunaway, is that right?
I don't know.
Yeah, her boyfriend in the movie was the slime ball from Die Hard. Put that together years later. The guy who does the cocaine and is like, we can make a deal or whatever, and he gets shot. Spoilers for Die Hard. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like Kind of Funny Games Daily, guess what? This show isn't over. We're going to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and record you a post show. And if that isn't your jam, no big deal. There will be brand new shows Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wednesday, it's going to be Blessing and Andy. Thursday, it's going to be me and Tim. And Friday, it's going to be... I thought this changed. Maybe it didn't change in the template. Hold on. Yeah, no, Friday, it's going to be me and Jordan Ramey from GameSpot. So that'll be a fun one to have and see what's going on there. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, well, don't worry. This show's not going anywhere. This show's going somewhere, but we're not going anywhere. Mike and Nick are going to be doing the Kind of Funny Morning Show and then a game called Unrailed, which I don't know anything about, and it does not sound like...
So I recommended that. I had a recommendation on that. It's basically kind of like an Overcooked Moving Out type thing where you have to work together, but you're working together to like build a railroad track before the train like rolls off the edge of it. So you have to keep the track going.
Nice.
And you harvest resources and stuff. And I didn't know too much about it, but I had heard really good things. I recommended it to Snowbike Mike. He went and played it with some of his pals. And I know Felicia Day was playing it with some of her friends last week. Apparently it's terrific. Like, it's just a really, really fun, like, you know, party game to play with friends, couch co-op. We've got it here. I'm planning to play it with the family when we next have a chance to sit down and all play a game. But the word I'm getting on it is that it's really good fun for a group of players.
Excellent. Well, that's going up right now. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you missed it there and want to catch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our newest YouTube channel that could use your support, your likes, your subscriptions, your bell notifications, where we put up everything we do over on Twitch. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary and I have a post show to do. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Go there to get the post show. Get the show ad-free. If you don't want to do any of that, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Roosterteeth.com. Podcast services around the globe. Use the Epic creator code KINDOFFUNNY on all your Epic Game Store purchases to help us out. Even if you're playing on a PlayStation or an Xbox and you want to get something in the Fortnite, have some fun. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen. If you play Mario Kart 200cc, you're a pervert. It's been our pleasure to serve you.
It's been our pleasure to serve you.